We left off yesterday. Now, we had read the Rif and the Rif's Psak, and the Rif had explained, the way he saw things, that the two debates between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were rooted in the same issue. The Gezer of Shema Yimashech Rosh of Arubo Acha Shulchano. And it made no difference whether you're talking about a Sukkah Gedola, where there's plenty of room in the Sukkah for your shulchan, but you choose to sit on the edge. You know, it's kind of like in a morti, is sitting like, you sit 1 foot out on the plaza almost, and just inside, or, you know, Yonah sitting, you know, against the backbenchers. And a situation where it was a tighter shir room and was much cozier, and there was barely any room for anybody, where you're sitting in a sukkah that literally just holds you, your head and your body, most of your body, but not your shulchan. So the Rif says the reason is the same in both cases. Gzera Shem Mashach Rosh Shav Ruba Achar Shulchana. So the Shem Yimashach Achar Shulchana. The question I would ask is the following. Which direction, assuming that that's correct, obviously that's a Machlokas HaRishon, the Baal HaMor disagrees, but assuming that it were correct, in fact, which direction would you say, and it's which of those cases is it more reason to make Gzera? I can ask the question from a slightly different angle, but I think that the way I just asked it is the straight way to ask the question. Let me ask the question the following fashion. If Beis Shammai is gozer in a large sukkah, that Shema Yimashech Rosh Shav Ruba Acha Shulchano, does that mean that they would automatically passel a sukkah that weren't that size? In other words, if in a sukkah that's large and you eat on the edge, and your shulchan, in a large sukkah when your shulchan is outside the sukkah, your eating is no good. So what is the din in a small sukkah where your shulchan cannot, by definition, fit in the sukkah? What would Beis Shammai say? Is that a reasonable way of formulating the question? So what would you say? Avi, what would you say?
Say possible.
So you'd say definitely possible. Why? That is one approach, a very reasonable approach, and say, listen, the bottom line is if your shulchan is, even a place where you have a possibility and you're on the edge, where assumption is you're going to mistakenly go out here, every time you walk into that sukkah, by definition, you're on the precipice. Right? So certainly you should be choshesh. Is there another way of seeing it? I want to know if there's a shita between chavrusas here, because I'm joking. You know what a shita is, right? You all know what a shita is by now. So does that mean you have to hold the same thing as him, or you have a different? Somebody had a different view here. Was that Natan or Avram? Somebody, yes, right hand. Yeah. Avram.
Lo yotze, because it's not inherent in the sukkah that it's a certain lay consequence that so you can't fit inside.
So therefore, what would Beis Shammai, if Beis Shammai was goes, they are gozer, by a big sukkah, what would they hold by a sukkah katana? Psula or kshera?
I was going to say lo yotze, not in theory it's kosher, but you're just not yotze the mitzvah.
But that means if there's no way to be yotze in the sukkah, then it's a sukkah psula.
Right. Okay.
I'm waiting for the chakira. Can you have a sukkah which is kshera, but there's no way to be yotze your mitzvah when you're in that sukkah? So I'll assume they're one and the same thing. Okay. For the moment, what's that?
I'm working on it.
You work on it. Okay. I mean, you know, people change over time. I've changed, you know, certain of my outlook on a number of things, even in recent years, even in the last year or two. So maybe you'll change my mind about this as well. But that's your task. Can a sukkah be no good? Can a sukkah be kshera? But, you know, I could have given a very simple nafkamina, except for it's not true, which is, we're of different size, right? Some of us are smaller, some of us are bigger. So what happens if it holds your Rosh of Arubo, but doesn't hold my Rosh of Arubo? Right? I might say my head is swollen, so it doesn't hold my Rosh of Arubo. So in that case, could it be the Sukkah's Kshera, but I can't rotate it. There, firstly, we give a Kashir Kavuah. There's only one place, by the way, we will talk about this later. One of the very interesting topics I hope to explore is the concept of Shiurim in Halacha. You'll ask, why do I get to do that when learning sukkah? Because I don't want to do sukkah. No, because it comes up. Shurin chatzitz and machitz and halach melosh misina and daf hey or so. So there's only one place in halacha that I can think of where a shir that is based upon human dimensions is subjective. For example, a mikveh is mayim shekol gufo shel adam ola bahem. It's enough. The sheer mikveh is mem sa'ah. That's how much it takes to submerge a human body. One amma by one amma by three ammas. But you know, obviously, there's a range of size of people in the sheer. And therefore, we pay in different amounts. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, kol shir v'shachacham kachin. There's only one shir, maybe others. I only know of one shir in halacha that is totally subjective, based upon the gavra. What? No, no. That's how much you choose to give. What? A log? You're malo lugmav. Malo lugmav is the only shir that I know of in halacha that is dependent upon the gavra. Some people don't advise this, but some people do, and I think it's principally correct. If someone thinks they're going to have to eat on Yom Kippur, which is the only time for you, pachas pachas mikashir, so you want to know, how much is a kazayas, how much is a koseves, and how much is a malolugma? So the koseves, you got to give somebody a fixed shear. But the simple way of determining your malolugma is before Yom Kippur, fill your mouth, the brim, with liquid, and then spit it out into a cup and take half of it, because malolugmav is when you push it all to one side, right? So you may actually tip it. The shear that people often give for malolugmav is an ounce, but I think it's much bigger, actually. You can get more than an ounce of our liquid into a malolugmav. So anyway, but that's the only shear. That's the only shear that's subjective, so I leave you with the task another time to think about, can you have a sukkah that's kshera, but there's no way to use it, behav shear. Morning.
So in terms of the original question, it's feasible to think that they would have made the takana on the situation and not on the sukkah. Meaning you could eat in a small sukkah without a table.
So now the question becomes in the opposite direction. Is it conceivable that someone eating with... In a big sukkah, if you're eating without a table, I presume you're yotze, even if you eat at the edge of the sukkah. Right? So what happens in a sukkah katana? First question is, do you use a table in a sukkah katana, or do you eat out of your lap? That's the question. And that in itself could be a matzvi machlokas harishonim. Not a matzias question, but what is the assumption here? In other words, part of it could be... I'm not going to argue what people do. People do what they do. But the question is it necessary to be able to have a shulchan in the sukkah to be considered a proper sukkah? The Ramban has an unbelievable line in the middle of the Muchamos here about a sukkah that can't be used in all of its forms is not a good sukkah for anything. Right? A sukkah that you can't sleep in, you know, by however, whatever that means, and the Ramban doesn't describe, but that's not the case he gives, but you can construct that a case that you can't, a sukkah you can't sleep in is not good for eating in either. It doesn't mean that if you live here, let's say, and over this particular sukkah, which was not sukkah weather at all, it was vile weather, certainly for sukkah, so I don't know how many people really would have, even people who might ordinarily sleep in the sukkah, this was not very good year to sleep in the sukkah in Teaneck, New Jersey, that's for sure. But we wouldn't say the sukkah is not, you know, sukkah suitable for sleeping. It means by its construction. By its construction. So it might be that some Rishonim would say, no, by definition, the way normal people eat, the menschlich way to eat, is with a shulchan. And therefore, the fact that you might eat without a shulchan, that's irrelevant. The sukkah has to be one that could hold your shulchan. And if you had a shulchan, there would be reason to be gozer shemi yimashech ha shulchana. But one possibility, there is a better possibility that I don't know if anybody has said explicitly, but I think is actually kind of obvious, where there might be a reason to be gozer shemi yimashech in a big sukkah, but not in a small sukkah. In a small sukkah where it's impossible that the shulchan even fit in the sukkah, it still might be better. Why? Why not? No, you have a shulchan. So you have a shulchan. And then one possibility is like the Baal the Baal Hamor does assume that it's not shayach. He assumes you're not eating with a shulchan in a tiny sukkah, and therefore it's not shayach the gzeir shem shulchan. Of course it must be for a different reason, not like the Rif says. It's the Rabbi says, the Rif's kevah b'inan. But there is actually, I think, a svara. It's more based upon psychology. I think... Yes.
In a small sukkah, in a big sukkah, you expect there to be a table. So when there isn't one, you're gonna go to one. But in a small sukkah, it's not. You're not thinking about having a table.
Let me ask a hiking question here. Okay, you have two choices. You have a cliff. You can either have a cliff with a very, very narrow ledge, you know, enough for you to walk on, but you have to press against the wall to walk on it. Or you can walk on the edge of the cliff, not next to a wall. There's plenty of room on a ledge, but you have to walk along the edge of the cliff. Which one would you prefer to walk on? And the answer is neither. Okay, fine. But you're given the choice of walk the cliff by the chief pirate, okay, which one do you choose? What's that? The one where you where that's narrow enough that you're forced it, because there you're sort of as you have a much greater sense of the, you don't need a sense of balance the same way. Right? In other words, in the small sukkah, you know that you're pressed for shoes. You know you need to be pressing against the wall in order to eat in the sukkah. It is less likely that you're going to be mesiach das and be nimshach achar shulchana. That's why we just think, from a psychological perspective and a physical perspective, it's actually better. There's less of a reason that you'll be nimshach achar shulchana in a literally minimum-sized sukkah, where the only way to eat is by being, you know, totally pressed against the wall. Whereas in a big sukkah, you're relaxed, and you know, you put a sukkah to this, you know, the table moves a little bit, the chair moves a little bit, and all of a sudden you're actually outside the sukkah. So you don't have to say that way, but those are two possibilities: either an assumption that you're not eating with the shulchan, or that you're actually less likely to be nishal. Why you could have argued, in fact, that even if the reason for both of them is shema yimashech hashulchano, that there's less of a hashash by a small sukkah than a big sukkah. Now, just for the record, nobody holds that way. No, I would say the following. Nobody holds that the gzera shema yimashech hashulchano is the reason for both, but we are more concerned by a small sukkah than we are, we are more concerned by a big sukkah than we are by a small sukkah. The Ramban, in his last paragraph, after just assuming the Rif is right about the reason for both sukkahs, the small sukkah, the big sukkah, is the same, he says there are still some who ask, who says that you're choshesh more as much by the big sukkah as you are by the small sukkah? In other words, even if you accepted the Rif's premise that the reason for both psulim of Beis Shammai is the same, it is conceivable that you still might only pass the like Beis Shammai by sukkah katana, not because of diras kevarai, but because shem yimashe ha'ashochano. And yet, by the big sukkah, you wouldn't pass like Vashami. There you wouldn't be choshesh. So nobody works with those last two possibilities we laid out as to why you might be more choshesh by a big sukkah. But anyway, yes.
Assuming that that you think it's two different reasons for katana and gedola.
Right.
At what point do you consider it gedola? At what point does that gezira kick in?
A gedola is any sukkah where the shulchan could fit in the sukkah. That's his definition. And then you put the shulchan outside the sukkah. A sukkah katana is a sukkah where the shulchan will not fit the sukkah because only it's machzeches kenei rosh
ha'beruva. But that's not a kosher sukkah.
That's a machlokas.
I'm saying according to, but the gezira is only according to Beit Shammai to begin with.
Correct, but the question is, why does Beit Shammai pass on the smaller sukkah? Is it because they hold the sukkah as psula? Or it's just a gezira, shein mashach ha'achar shulchana. By the way, that is your kick. Maybe this is how we started. That is a case of a sukkah that's ksheva, but you can never use it because of exerim with the rabbanim. Yes?
How much does the shulchan have to be in the sukkah?
What?
How much of the shulchan has to be in the sukkah?
One tefach. That's enough to be a shulchan. Because the difference, the Rosh Ruba was 6 by 6, and Rosh Ruba Shulchana was 7 by 7 or something like that. I'm not sure why it should be 6 by 6. It should be really, I don't know, however wide you are, if it's 7 by 7, I assume it's either 7 by 6 or 7 by 7, because you're still 7 tefachim wide. Unless it's a sukkah you have to be able to, nah, it's not true. Anyway, so there's not a big difference between a sukkah katana and a sukkah gedola. In fact, by definition, it's quantum. You have to just decide where the cross of the line is. Right? In other words, up until here is a sukkah katana. As soon as it reaches that size, it's a sukkah gedola.
Then how would you have the case where there is no gezeira on
Well, I suggest that it may be in a sukkah. You could go both ways. In a sukkah gedola, we're not afraid. You got plenty of space. You're not going to be trying to make room with the wall behind you. So once you put the put the bench in the sukkah, it'll stay in the sukkah. That mitzad echad. Mitzad sheni, you could say no. There's a greater concern by a big sukkah because you're just not paying attention to what's going on because you don't have to. The small sukkah, you know, you have to be pressed against the wall. So there, if in fact you believe that it meets the minimum shir sukkah minatorah, then we might not even need to be gozer there.
But one tefach more you would?
Correct, because one tefach more means I'm not pressed against the wall eating. Now I'm supposed to eat it like this, I'm eating like this. And right. So again, nobody says that way in the end. No, there's no rishon that, it's impossible. Nobody says that you paskin like Beis Hillel by the sheer sukkah, but Beis Shammai by a big sukkah, you know, like Zer Shemi Mashach HaPashon. No one says that way. If you're going to split the psak, the way many Rishonim do, the Ritzkeas, some of the Gaon and Tosfos, the Baal Hamor, I think the Ran also, I think is noted that way. So you're going to split the Pesach in favor of Paschal, like Beis Shammai by Sukkah Ketana, Beis Hillel by Sukkah Gedola. So either that distinction is based upon the way the Baal Hamor says that by Sukkah Ketana, Beis Shammai holds that it's Diras Keva Be'ina, and that's two Arai. And we pass like Beis Shammai, but we're not passing like Beis Shammai of the Gzeira Shema Yimashay. Or you say that no, that the psul by Sukkah Ketana for Beis Shammai is that the sukkah is unusable because your Gzeira Shema Yimashay everywhere. And we have to pass like Beis Shammai by Sukkah Ketana Shema Yimashay, but we don't pass by Sukkah Gedola Shema Yimashay. Okay. So let's take a look today. I would like to read through the Baal Hamor and the Ramban. That's what's most interesting here. And one comment here by way of introduction. There are, it seems to me, I don't know how many opinions, I haven't really sorted them out. There is a tradition from the Gaonim that when you have a Shita, it's hard to know. We don't pass them like any member of that Shita, or we don't pass them like most. By default, we don't pass like any of the opinions there. Not that we for sure don't pass like any one of them, but we don't. We assume that we probably don't like pass like them unless we have evidence otherwise. There are all sorts of different views here, and there are different views on different kinds of shitos. As one of you pointed out to me at the end of Seder, that there are at least three kinds of shitos. The most common kind of shita is ploni uploni 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 kulu svir lehu, and the principle. Then there's a shita which is ploni, 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 kulam amru davar echad. And then there's the case in Yevamos where it is ploni kiploni and ploni kiploni and ploni kiploni and ploni kiploni, savar x. In other words, it's a chain, almost like a chain of transmission from Rebbe to a student. And the question is, are any of these shitos treated differently? So there was a Rishon who was quoted, I don't know if somebody saw it, Rabbeinu Shmuel of Ramru. Ramrugi is the way it's spelled. Right. Maybe it was Ramruge, I don't know, like Baton Rouge or something. It's a French name. You know, by the way, you know that that most of us, I assume, pronounce the name of the city in Louisiana, New Orleans. Right, the French would never pronounce it that way. They would, with a snotty pronunciation, not have an S at the end, of course. I mean, they would pronounce the whole thing in that fashion, but they wouldn't have an S at the end. But what? But you know that it was once pronounced, right? How do you know that? Because it's spelled with an S at the end, right? That means in the original, when you read the Rishonim, when you read, there was a Baal Tosfos, the Re, he was not from New Orleans. He was from Orleans. How do you know that they pronounce the S? Because it's transcribed into the Hebrew. Right? It's transliterated to Hebrew. You know that it was pronounced that way. So, but the way the name of the place of Rabbeinu Shmuel lived from was known as Ramru. Anyone know who Rabbeinu Shmuel of Ramru was? Rashbam. Rashi was from Troyes. Rashi lived in Troyes. Okay, or Troyes, as it was once pronounced, something closer to it with an S. And the Rashbam lived in Ramru. And that's who, when you see, I don't know why the Baal Hamor quotes him, Rabbeinu Shmuel Ramrugi, I have no idea, but that's who it is. So the Rashbam made a claim. He said that kulu amru davar echad means they hold identical, they all hold identically, whereas kulu svira lehu, that's amru davar echad, whereas kulu svira lehu means they all hold to this principle to some extent, but not the same way. The Baal Hamor, while not necessarily recognizing that literary distinction, makes perhaps... The Ramban claims the opposite assumption. What does the Baal Hamor assume about a shita? When do we not paskin like a shita? Says the Baal Hamor. We don't paskin like a shita when their positions are. It sounds like it's not clear. The Ramban assumes when their positions are identical, when they agree with one another. Then when they would agree with one another, the Baal Hamor says we don't paskin like it. But if their opinions are really different and they would disagree with one another, then you can paskin like some of the positions in a shita. And the Ramban takes very strong issue with that. So let's read the Baal Hamor first. I don't want to focus, by the way, on the first part of the Baal Hamor, so we're going to skip it for the moment, about the Shipui Olim. I want to go to the, leave out, I mean, all right, it's one line. But all right, let's read the riff. Let's read the whole Balamor. Fine. Who's reading the Balamor for Noah?
Sure.
Okay. Yes. Ask Cassie a question.
The Balamor says that we don't hold like a shita when everybody holds exactly the same.
Correct.
Why? Like, what's the reasoning behind that?
All right. What would the reasoning be if you took the opposite position? What would the reasoning be?
You hold the opposition being that you only hold like a shita when people are different.
We only reject it when people are not identical. What would that? What defend that position? That's an easier one to explain, actually, because some of the Rishonim say it. Beferish.
Somebody must be right.
Then why do you reject all of them?
Oh, because they don't hold the right opinion. They all hold similarly, but not the right.
Why? How do you know it's not the right opinion? Maybe one of them is right.
Because you're rejecting the thing, the reason that they're a shita.
No, I know, but why? I'm asking. So the Gaonim say there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that the Rambam will quote at the towards the end. He'll explain how did the Gaonim know we don't pass in like a Shita?
There's a Gemara, and I'll just tell you quickly now. There's a Gemara in Ezonesha. I don't even want to have to explain to you exactly what's going on there, because then we'd have to do an introduction to Riddus a little bit, which might be nice, but it's a little too far afield, a little too complicated. Bottom line is the Gemara quotes, Rabbi Nachman says, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha k'Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And then the Gemara tells a story, the Gemara comments later and says that La Halacha itmar, Ela Shita itmar. In other words, it wasn't the Halacha that he paskin that way, but rather he identified it as a Shita, because if he'd have paskin that way, he should have just said Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, who was the most makel of the three, in permitting an arrangement that he did in Hilchos Ribbis, whatever it was, to avoid a problem of Ribbis. So that's where the Gaonim have this idea that there's something called a Shita versus Halacha. When you say Halacha k'Rabbis, it's impossible. When you simply collect, if Rav Nachman was simply saying, why would Rav Nachman have put Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav Shimon Gamliel together, if he wasn't saying Halacha k'X, Halacha k'Y, Halacha k'Z? The answer is he wasn't putting halacha there. He was collecting them because they all hold a similar shita. And we don't paskin that way. So that's where the Gaonim got the idea that whenever you have a shita, we don't paskin that way. So the question is, why? So some have suggested, I forget who says this, it's certainly not the way the Balamor is thinking, that because each opinion in the shita doesn't agree with one another, we can reject them all, because each one is a das yachid. Right, therefore, we don't hold light. And if everybody in the Shita held the exact same thing, that might be a reason to paskin that way. Because if you have a series of Tanaim who all hold the same thing, now maybe they're a rabbim and you should paskin that way. But if each one disagrees with one another, you know, it's the way often, you know, oppositions are very ineffective in democracies. They all disagree with the majority, but they can't agree with one another either to get along. If they all banded together, so then, right, so if they all were Amru Davar Echad in the Rashbam's language, it would work. But each one has his own shita. It's just different than the other guy's shita. Whereas the rest of us hold another machna debash shabal olam. But this guy holds, he's machna debash in this case. And this one holds, no, not in that case, but in this case. So that means they don't agree with one another. So each one is a das yachid. So it's harder to explain the reverse position. The Balamor's position is harder to understand. I think what you have to say is the Balamor is assuming that when everybody, Shechter said this sheer many eons ago. I don't even remember what we were learning when he said this. He said, when my recollection, the way he described the Shita is that basically the Amora is collecting sort of the outliers. Now, to the extent that all of them hold the same thing, you might be able to say, listen, that's a principle they all hold of, identical, and we reject that principle. That's exactly why Abaye, whoever else, was collecting them. That don't make the mistake of postulating them, because they all go down the rabbit hole, you know, for this terrible shita of Adamata Shabalolam, or my nurse, Kona, Kini Gomer, and so on. And you know, you might not realize that that's what they're saying, and therefore, I'm warning you, they all fall prey to that same mistake. Adopt that mistaken position, that rejected position of other matna darashval olam. So to the extent that they're more identical, it's easier to say we're rejecting that one principle. Each one, you know, really holds a disparate opinion. It's just they all have some relative relationship with one another. You know, similarities, but not the same. Then maybe you don't necessarily reject everyone. In other words, a regular shita, if it's all the same, one principle you reject them all. Here, it's different principles. Maybe we don't reject it quite, you know, as strongly. There's the purpose of the sheet is something else. Okay, so anyway, let's read the Baal HaMor now. And he says,
Rabbi Abaye, Rabbi Yosheva, Yehuda, 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 Tavalama Ripzam, Apo Gab the Tokia Gab the Shitahi, Blake Tokata Pichad Minayu, Aka Igatarti Minayu, the Hilkatani Hilkulai. Yitiba, the Hilkot Vidvarab.
Behilchos, Behalachos. Right, the name of the Rif Sefer is the Sefer Halachos. Sefer Halachos, the Rav Yitzchak Kalfasiza. Okay. Now what does he say? Such an interesting phrase. Does this bring to mind anything? What does he say? He says it very more respect than ordinarily does. He says his words are not correct this time. That actually echoes as a famous biblical line that way. And it was probably crucial that the person who said it said the way he did. What?
No. It's not in the Daf Yomi, but you'll soon encounter the figure in the Daf Yomi.
Hushai Ha'arki. Who was Hushai Ha'arki? Don't you have to know the Bible before they let you into the yeshiva? Apparently not. Apparently not. Nobody knows who Hushai Ha'arki was. He's not just a biblical, he plays a very important role. When Avshalom rebelled against David, he sent Hushai Ha'arki back in order to try to undermine the Eitz of Achitophel. And when Achitophel suggested not waiting a moment and chasing after David immediately, gathering the army quickly and just going after David, so Hushai, you know, David prayed that the God should be Mefer Atzas Achitophel, Achisophel, technically. And then, what does he say? He asked Achisophel what to do at the end of Perek Tesai and Shmuel Beis, and Achisophel said, you know, he gave various eitzes, and then the next parak, he says, let me pick 12,000 men quickly, and let me chase them tonight. And then Avshalom says, let's hear what Hushai Ha'arki has to say. And the Hushai responded, lo tova ha'itza asher ya'atz Achisophel ba'pam hazos. Right? In order to make his chances of undermining Achisophel better, he had to say it in a nice way, because to say that Achitophel gives bad advice, well, everybody knew that asking Achitophel was almost like asking the Urim Betumim, kasher yishal ish b'dvar alokim. So he said, this time, ba'pam hazos. That's not what the Baal HaMor says. He says, ein dvarim nechonim b'makom hazeh. Right? No, the Rif is usually right, but he's not right, you know, here. So what does he say? So that's what the Rif said. And the Baal HaMor says, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Now, Al Kisvara, I'm not interested in discussing it. The Ran actually here, the Ramban, jumps all over the Baal HaMor, and the Ran says he thinks the Ramban's missing a Gemara in Erevin. It's beferish like the Ran against the Rif. But I will point out to you something I said in this week's Parsha, that the Rif says is perfectly mistaber. In other words, the notion that a Diras Keva must have a flat roof, I think, is categorically absurd. You know why? What? Think about this week's parsha. Ve'elamot techaleno milmala. How was the teva constructed? And the teva had to be as strong as a dira could be. How was the teva? What does it mean? Ve'elamot techaleno milmala. Yeah, it had to basically, the sides of the teva had to come up like this. You know why? Rashi explains. What?
Rain.
Yeah, you don't want the rain to pile up on the roof. That's how you get roof collapses, right? 25 years ago in the spring, I can tell the story. Some of you know him. I think he lives in Alon Shvut, Rabbi Ziegler. So he, I don't know, it's not a perfectly fine story. He applied to graduate school at NYU. There were a whole bunch of us who were applying. And whoever he wanted to work with there in mysticism thought it was great. But they rejected it. They didn't give him a scholarship. I think it was him. And the reason they gave him a scholarship, they said, your application was late. And he says, no, it wasn't. It had to be mailed by a certain date. And they said, look at the postmark. They had to pull down. He was correct. And why did it get there very late? Because he had mailed it from Israel and had been a post office in Yerushalayim had collapsed because of the weight of the snow that year on the roof.
So that's why everything was delayed. If I recall correct, that was the story that happened. So I think that you build a roof that's flat. You don't usually build roofs that are flat. In New York City, in apartment buildings, they do that way, but it's a concern. You have to worry about the water pile if you have to have proper drainage. Otherwise, aside from leakage, you can get a roof collapse. That's why you go to suburbia mostly, and most places do build roofs that are slanted so that the water just runs off, that the snow doesn't, you know, well, the snow was going to sit on the side, but it's easier for the snow to slough off. So, I don't think it has anything to do with Arai and Keva. Okay, there's a teretz against what I'm saying. You could have even teretz to the Balamor. But anyway, the Balamor says, no. He says that Shapu Olam, but it's not old because that's not called an Ol Keva. Yes?
Is it stopped by an Ol rather than a Bayis?
No. So I think the answer, the reason why I'm saying it is probably wrong, is because it's not that you can't have a slanted roof. It's you can't have a slanted roof without walls. That's the issue. Right? I think... That's tricky, though. We're going to deal with the sugya, by the way, later in the year, hopefully, if we move and we get to the whole subject of kilas chasanim, right? A kila, sleeping under a bed with a slanted roof. So we have to explore to what extent that's really the case. What is the issue, if there are... Right, it's not so pashut I'm wrong, it's not so pashut I'm right. Okay, so it's a machlokas, the balam on the roof. Yes?
Well, could we also phrase it as being an issue of things with slanted roofs tend to be more temporary? Like your example of a teva or like tents.
That is possible. Well, the teva was, I know, it's kind of temporary, I guess.
You call anything movable, I think we call it the Osara, almost by definition.
No, that's not correct, because according to that shita, why can you build a sukkah al gabi sfina? According to the Manda Omar, that it's the diras kevabin, and enough that you needed to be omei beruach shein mitzuyiv. It's Rabbi Gamliel Shita. That's cited in the Shita. So it's,
tents always have slanted roofs, and they are the most temporary type of dwelling.
Tents don't always have slanted roofs, but they always have slanted roofs. The question is, do they have any part that also, do sometimes have parts that go up straight. So it's not clear, but it's something, it was a point to mention in the Parsha. So anyway, Rashi gave us a little engineering. Rashi was at least a good enough engineer to understand that. Yes, Al, do you have a question? No? Okay. Fine. So, this is the part I really want, though. The chayim.
The chayim ha'hi d'misha haya rosh ha'viru of the sukkah, v'kano lan t'beit shamay, v'ka'amah haras v'kano l'recha, v'taymayu t'beit shamay, v'shum d'gazrina, and shamay yimshach achar shol chanel, ha'alita ala v'suga gadola. Aval v'suga ketana, v'aday t'aymayu t'beit shamay, v'shum d'irat kevahu. Sh'ari eilu shulchan b'tocha v'ay, yimshach acharav.
So, the Baal Mor says in a small sukkah, it's not shaykh to make a zera, because his assumption is you're not eating on the shulchan. You're eating out of your lap. You take the plate, you sit in your cardboard box, in your refrigerator box, that you cut the top off, put some sach on top, and it's really, you have a compact refrigerator, so it's only 6 tachim wide or deep, whatever it is, and you don't have a shulchan. Now, one could have said, of course you eat with the shulchan by definition, and it means you have to put the shulchan outside of your sukkah, but this is what the Baal Hamor says. And therefore, v'kaimalon...
So
I don't know how many places I didn't go searching, but the Rishonim seem to accept this premise that we just know throughout the Masechta of first two prakim at least. Shir Sukkah 7 Tvachim is 7 Tvachim. How often this comes up, I don't know, that you could talk about the Sugya and the Mesechta, but okay, that's what he says. No one was Docha Shir. Now, there's no Sugya that suggests that we don't pass like Beis Hillel there. Right. It's not like other Tanaim where, okay, we might pass like one, but you could pass like the other. But Beishamim, Makom Beisilal is not Mishnah. It's like it's Kiloena. It's a larger question, not ours. You know, what's the difference between, the Machlokas Beishamim Beisilal versus the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua versus the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda versus the Machlokas, what makes the Qumranites or the Sadducees, what makes those Shitos not Shitos versus, and totally outside the Machaneh, and what makes Beishamim Shita Eino Mishnah, even though we might mention it, and what makes other Tanaim Shitas, well, we don't pass in that way, but that's a Shita. That's, what is the line? Is it, especially Beis Shammai is the particularly difficult part. I can explain why we don't pass like the Qumran. We would say they're heretics. There's a different theology, perhaps. And the Sadducees, Chazal never state a different theology. The Rishonim assert that. In other words, I don't think the Gemara ever claims that the Sadducees deny Torah Shebaal Peh or don't believe in X, Y, and Z. All sorts of others have interpreted the Tzedukim to not hold of this, to not hold of that, and so on. So that might be the difference, but it requires an explanation. What makes those Shitas outside, as opposed to Shitas Beis Shammai, which once upon a time was inside, but eventually was put outside, versus other Tanaim that are inside, even if we don't pass in that way. Okay.
When you said the Gitana, the Sukkah Gedola, lo gamrinan de ha time of the food, the high time of the food, lo taya chad de chavarta.
Right. So in other words, they had two different reasons, and therefore you can't, the fact that you pass in like Beis Shammai in one doesn't mean you pass in like Beis Shammai in the other. Hilkach.
Hilkach, halach ki Beis Shammai de Sukkah Gitana, the Kabe'il of the Sukkah Gedola.
So that's an internal argument from the Masechta itself. But there is one problem the Baal HaMor knows that he has to deal with, which has nothing to do with the Gemara itself, but So you clearly, in other words, so the Baal HaMor here, he doesn't explicitly state that he's dealing with the Gaonic problem of Shita, but it certainly sounds like he's saying that, which is that if all of these Tanaim in the Gemara hold of Sukkah Diras Kevabinan and we reject one, it means you reject all, because you reject the principle of Sukkah Diras Keva Ve'inan. So the Baal HaMor says it's not true, because they don't all hold the same thing. And we know, how do we know that? Because Rebbe and Beis Shammai explicitly disagree on the shear of the Sukkah. So he says, that, and there's a very important line here, he says, Lefi sheyesh lekviyas Sukkah derachim rabin. There are many different aspects of Kviyas, and different, I would say, ways of determining what makes something Kavua. So, and why is he saying this? To explain that if you reject one, it doesn't mean you have to reject the other. And that's because each one holds differently, so you can reject some and accept some. Continue. Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan, the Sukkah Asiya, Kivshan.
Kivshan.
Kivshan, Sirlei de Rabbi, below Sirlei de Akhir.
Does anybody know what that means? To know that this means you have to have learned the Gemara in the continuation. I don't expect you to have done that. Rabbi, the next, it's a famous Gemara. Many of you know it because the diagrams in Tosos. If you build a circular sukkah, how large does it have to be? Right? How many walls are there in a circular sukkah?
Zero. One.
Infinite. That's what a circle is. A circle, in effect, is a, call it a polygon, you know, an equal polygon, if you want to call it, with an infinite number of sides, right? As the number of sides approaches infinity, you get a circle. That's the whole idea, if you think about it. Are there calculus people here? You should know that from calculus.
Depends on how you look at it.
Don't start with me, Annenberg. So the bottom line is a circular sukkah is a question, how big does it have to be? So Rabbi Yochanan, it's famous Gemara because of the geometry of the Gemara. Right, so you can see all the pictures, and we'll decide how much we really want to do, because our geometry is far more accurate and far more elegant than, you know, if you ever watch Rashi do math, arithmetic, it is absolutely painful. Right, third graders can do, good third graders who've been trained properly, and that'd be many of them, can do, or fourth graders can do multiplication more efficiently than Rashi does it. Right? That's, if you ever watch Rashi Drachas, any of the times that Rashi has to do, you know, we'll call multiplication and things like that, it can be torture, because they didn't have, I mean, it's not that complicated, but they didn't get an education in mathematics and in arithmetic. So it's not that the numbers are not accurate in cases, they typically are, but it's painful getting there. In this particular case, and the Gemara, it's well known, the numbers are a little off. The Gemara knows the numbers are a little bit off. Pi is not 3. But that is the number that the Gemara usually works with. Right? Kol igol sheyesh behakefo. Kol igol sheyesh baruch tefach yesh behakefo shlosh tefachim. Like the Yam Shel Shlomo, which was 10 amos across and 30 amos around. So anyway, in that sugya, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara is trying to figure out, Rabbi Yochanan, how many people do you have to be able to sit around the sukkah, which tells you how large the sukkah have to be. What the answer to the question is, the sukkah has to be large enough to inscribe a square in it, which is a sheer minimum of sukkah.
That's non-Kabbalistic problem.
What?
That's non-Kabbalistic problem.
That's correct. And that particular issue, when Rabbi Yochanan assigns a number, it appears that he's assuming Rebbe Shita of Dalet al Dalet Amos. In other words, a sheer hechsher of a round sukkah is you have to be able to inscribe in the middle a square of Dalet al Dalet Amos. I don't know actually how we paskin. I would assume the way we paskin is you have to be able to inscribe in your circular sukkah a square of 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. Yes, Yehuda.
I think paskin be like a hexagonal sukkah, an octagonal sukkah.
So I think the rule is that you have to be able to drop a square, the size and minimum shear sukkah into that. It doesn't matter how you construct the sukkah. You can have it a funny kind of, a polygon where sides jutting in, sides jutting out. If you can inscribe, it's not area, you have to be able to drop a square sukkah of minimum shear into that mixture. Yes,
Yehuda. Then the whole sukkah is kosher.
Then the whole sukkah is kosher. Right. Then you had a question? Yes, I'm pretty sure. Look, we can explore the sukkah when we get there. But the reason what the Ramban is saying is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan is assuming that a round sukkah is good. And what's the shear of sukkah that he's assuming? Whose sheet is that? That the Yeres Kevabinan. But one of the Tanaim, the last one, disqualified sukkah Asriya Kekivshan, a sukkah that's round, because that's not the way people make real buildings. Right, so Rabbi Yochanan rejects one, holds like the other. So you see that none of these shitas are not haba hatalia. Therefore, the Baal HaMor says it's okay to accept some and reject some. So he says, continue. Hilkach man.
Hilkach man de itle raya de hilchata kivata. Avdinan kivata kigon rabbi Yezer besuka kimin tzarif. Kigon bi tshamay besuka kitana.
Ve'inach.
Ve'inach yichidai ninhu. Ve'inan kivata.
Right, so all the other shitas are basically yichidim. And we reject them. But these ones, if we have proof from elsewhere, then we can hold like them. Right? So it's hard to know exactly what the Baal HaMor sheet is, but it sounds like he holds that if everybody held the exact same thing, you have to reject them all. But once they hold different things, you don't have to reject them all. You can accept some and reject some, as long as they're not mutual. The positions you adopt are not mutually exclusive. Now, he doesn't mention Refavish, the sheet of the Gona, but he seems, it might be that he, in other words, if each one is different, then you could, well, I shouldn't say that. I'll leave it at that. Yes, Kasser?
I'm still confused as to why, if all of them are the same, you have to reject them.
Well, so the truth is, you don't have to reject it, except that if you reject one, you must reject all.
Oh, okay. So
that's clear.
All the same, and you can't.
Correct.
Reject one.
But now we have a conundrum, which is not an explanation, but just an observation, which is if the Gaonim believe we don't hold like a Shita. And the Baal HaMor believes that when you have different opinions within the Shita which don't agree with one another, you can paskin like some of them. You don't have to reject all of them. Then the Baal HaMor must believe that the only time we don't hold like a Shita where you must reject all of them is when
they're all the same.
Which is why the Rambam, when he quotes the Rashbam, says that it's the exact opposite of the Baal HaMor. Right? Because the Rashbam's claim appears to be that when each one holds differently, you can reject each one of them. Each one is a das yachid, but when they all hold mamish the same thing, when it's kulo amru davar echad, not kulo sphere lehu ex, but kulo amru davar echad, it sounds like the Rashbam holds you do paskin like them. Only, just not when it's kulo sphere lehu. It's the exact opposite of the Baal HaMor.
So the Baal HaMor is not taking into account the possibility that they could all be the same, they could all be different, but all be wrong?
Correct. I mean, he does. He does
it's
take that into account.
Just,
it doesn't have, but they don't all have to be wrong. Remember, on what grounds does the Baal HaMor say that we paskin like a couple of the things in the Shita? Well, he says it at the end. He gives you the rule. He says, since they don't all hold the same way, so rejecting one doesn't conceptually mean rejecting all of them. He says, Hilkach man de islan raya de hilchasa kavase. In other words, if we have a proof from somewhere else in Shas, like the Sugya the Mesechta, or some other
other proof, then we might actually postulate like that. In other words, with the Baal HaMor, the problem is he doesn't tell us what he thinks about Shita. He could be saying that the Gaonim, when we reject the Shitas, we generally reject the Shita. In other words, the fact that they're all here doesn't mean we paskin like them, but if we have proof from another sugya that we happen to paskin like one of them, then we will follow that proof. But if they all hold the same one, exact same Shita, then obviously rejecting one means rejecting all. There is a Tosfos on that case in Ezu Neshech. Where is it? Samach. Zion. Where is it? Where is it? Samach Tes. Okay. Samach Tes. I knew I saw there's a smaller Tosfos in that one. So Rabbeinu Tam wants to argue that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in that Shita, which is kind of interesting. I'm not going to explain why. And Tosfos rejects that. Tosfos thinks it's wrong. He just quotes Rabbeinu Hananel that the Chol Ki Haigavna Shenemar Shita Les Hilchasal Kechad Binayim. We don't paskin like any of them. But Rabbeinu Tam felt that we don't generally paskin like them, but if we have a raya for one particular view in the Shita, and they're not Habatalia, then we do paskin like that one. In that sense, while he doesn't give us the criteria, probably he's assuming like the Baal HaMor. Which might also explain that this was a war between brothers, because who disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam? Rashbam. Yes, Noah?
So is the Baal HaMor in the last part trying to explain the nature of Shita, or is he using his conception of Shita
The problem I have is we don't know. The Baal HaMor doesn't invoke terms. The Ramban's assumption is that the Baal HaMor believes it's only a Shita when they hold Mamish the same thing. But notice the Rashbam never said that. The Baal HaMor never said that. The Ramban clearly understood it that way, both based upon his attempted proofs against the Baal HaMor and based upon his comments that the Rashbam is the exact opposite of the Baal HaMor. Right? Whereas the Rashbam says when they mamish all hold the same thing, kulu amru davar echad, you can do paskin that way. Whereas where kulu sfirli you don't, the Baal HaMor seems to be saying the opposite. He's assuming that if they all hold mamish the same thing, you reject all of them. If they all, on the general ballpark, you could accept some of them if they in fact are confirmed by some other raya.
Is he saying this because his Shita on Suga Gitana is a raya for this model of Shita? Or is he saying that this Shita...
So the Baal HaMor is forced into saying this because he believes there's no other way of explaining the Machlokas Beshamei Besila by Suga Gitana. Right? That's exactly what he says. The reason of Shema Yimashaych is not Shayach because he assumes you each went out of Shulchan. And therefore, the only explanation for the machlokas is as Abaye gives it, D.U.S. Keva versus D.U.S. Arai. And therefore, we know we paskin like Beis Shammah here, that nobody debates. There's one point that's not debated in this entire sugya. By the machlok, the Shir Sukkah Katana, minimum to be Kshera, according to all the Rishonim, is 7x7, like Beis Shammah Shita. Nobody debates that point. The question is why? Is it because why is it no good if it can't hold Shulchano? Is it because Shema Yimashech Achar Shulchano, as the Rif says, or is it because of what Abaye says? Which is Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan, with respect to this particular din. Okay. The problem is that if it's the latter, which is what the Baal HaMor says, then you should have to reject it by definition because we reject the Shita. The answer is, sometimes we accept certain opinions within a Shita if they don't all agree exactly with one another. Morty.
Why do we have to accept for Shmuel Barab Yitzchak saying that Beishamon is right?
So the answer is because the Gemara presents it as such, he presents it definitively, and no one disagrees. It's a good question. And note, by the way, the Yushalmi accepts it also. He doesn't tell us why, but it just in the answer within the Bavli is, it's just presented as such, period. Right, with no dissenting opinion. And he said he presented it as the halacha. Halacha tzricha shetehem achzekes kedei rosha ruba v'shulchano. And then one of the Talmidim said, like whom? He said, like Beis Shammai. Yes, exactly. And the Gemara doesn't disagree. Okay, so that's what the Baal HaMor said. The Ramban was not happy. I'm going to, just because of the interest of time, and I would like to finish this Ramban. I want to try to at some certain points pick up the pace, especially if it's not Ikar of Sukkah. So Zoeno Tshuva. I'm skipping the first part of the Ramban about Shipui Olim, his defense of the Rif. And I want to go to Masha Kasavo. The Chena he, The Mishnah Rosh Avru B'Sukkah B'Chulei Ad V'Kayma L'Metarti Pligin. Zo Eina Tshuva. The time at the Beis Shammai B'Sukkah Ketani Nami Mishim Hachihu Mishim Shema Yavi Shulchan V'Yimashech Acharav. The Kol Shekein Hu. The Ramban says, no, you're wrong, Balamor. It's not about whether Sukkah is Kevarai. The Gzeira of Shema Yimashech is certainly relevant by Sukkah Ketana, because you're going to bring a Shulchan, because that's how normal people eat. And the chayvan she'ein lo, it's a kol shekein, the chayvan she'ein lo makom basukaso lahaniach bo shulchano, since you don't even have room if you wanted to in your sukkah to put the shulchan, psula, shemanicho bachutzala yimashech achar shulchano, and afilu lishein ulishanein ulatayabo olecha lupito biyado psulahi or psula. It's a very important line just buried in the Ramban, where he says it doesn't matter that you could eat in such a way to stay in the sukkah. Not, we don't eat with a shulchan. It's not shaykh to be goes there. The Ramban says it doesn't matter. Even the things that you could do in that sukkah, if you can't eat in the sukkah kedarka, which is one of the mandatory tashmishim of the sukkah, then it's not a sukkah. Now the truth is, this is a gevaldig line in the Ramban, but it doesn't make any sense. In context. Why does it make any sense in context? He's just crossed lines. Is the sukkah no good when it's a sukkah katana because of a gzeira? Of course, it's a sukkah's no good. Well, he said, the reason it's a kal v'chomer, you're going to meet him shachacha shachana. Then he turns around and says that since the sukkah is not suitable, it's not suitable for eating kedarka, therefore it's not suitable for sleeping, for learning, for walking. And even though you can do those things, and eating upito biyado, nonetheless, the Ramban says, no good. It's psula. What do you mean? It's not psula. It's all because of a gzeira mid rabbanan. In other words, you could say that once the sukkah is no good for the sachil because of gzeira, so, unless that's what he means. In other words, mid rabbanan, it's possible for everything else. Since mid rabbanan, they made a gzeira shem yimashech achas shochana, because to be a sukkah, yeah, no, what do you want to say?
Isn't he just, I thought he was saying, like, definitionally, like, a sukkah katana would exclude all of the normal functions that you need for a sukkah, and therefore, when it comes to a sukkah katana, it wouldn't be good.
No, but the Ramban can't be saying that. The Ramban's whole point is to defend the Rif, who says that the reason why sukkah katana is psula is not because it's psula b'itzuma, but rather it's psula because of gzeresh, and yimashech hachashchana, when it's a kavachomer. If you're afraid by a sukkah gedola, certainly by a sukkah katana. Yes, Yehuda. You can do the monkey walk in it.
You can't walk in something that's wet and tough and tall.
Who says you have to? Who says?
You can't stand.
Who says you have to be able to stand?
It's only a certain list.
You have to decide. Yeah, I know. These are all examples.
I still think it's too strong. I think you'll find cases where we say it's kasha and you can't do all these.
Fine. Well, okay, but if you think about hoots and yards, the assumption, I don't know why they assume asara is normal. Okay, but they do, because they say that hoots and yards until hasara, it's no good, even though if you took it away, you'd still have stach kasha because it's a dira srucha. So, but I'm more troubled by the Ramban, who's busy trying to explain why the sukkah is ksherim min adin, but it's asr mishum gzeira, why the Ramban says that the sukkah is psula, because if it's not right for the normal tash shachila kedarka with the shulchan, it's not, you can't use it for anything else. No?
Doesn't that kind of address with the question of Mishnah, where why does it say, on the one hand, pasul, and then mishahaya? The Ramban wants to make it categorically pasul in every way.
No, but for the Rif, it's not. I know, but the problem is for the Rif, it's not.
But that's problematic going, you know, with the Gemara. Then the Gemara really should just have said lo yatsa.
No. So the answer that I could give in the context of the Gemara is now to go back to Noah's Chakira, is that a sukkah that can never be used at any time is psula, by definition. Not in your Chakira sense of the question, but the reason you can, psula implies you can never use the sukkah. The sukkah is invalid. I mean, I guess my answer might be correct. The Ramban is saying psula midrabanan. Right? Even though that runs against the opening sugya, but that's okay. Maybe it's the Ibai Sema.
Could it be psula midiraita because of a gezer midrabanan? In other words, Zerah Midrabanan takes out the use of Achila.
So let's wait till we get to the second part of the Shir. You could raise that issue. Yes, no.
Ours is the opposite. That midoraita, it would be possible, and the derabanan gezera is really an expression of that same idea.
But the problem is, why would it be psul midoraita? It all start. In other words, and if it is, you don't need to make a gezera. It's not gezera shemini mashenachach. It's not gezera midoraita. The reason why the Torah requires the sukkah to be 7x7 is because otherwise you'd be nimshachach shochana. It's pretty wild.
Maybe you'd do something like it's. Yeah.
We do have a concept. There is such a concept as Gzera Daraisa. Right? There is a concept of Gzera Daraisa. The Rambam postulates for the Rambam, the Isser of Losikravu, is Gzera Midaraisa. Right? The Isser of Bayer Rabbi Matz on Chametz by Pesach is Gzera Midaraisa. But still, this is a little strong. Shema Yimashen Chachar Shochana. Okay.
What does the Rambam say?
What?
How does the Rambam paint this?
The Rambam, remember, explains nothing. He just passes like the riff. So again, it might just be that Mamela, once you can't do anything on the sukkah, because in other words, if you came up with a scenario where Midaraisa you couldn't do one of these things there, then you would say that it's psula for any Tashmish or Midaraisa. So here, what you can't do with something that's only Midarabanan, it's Shema Gezera, he's forming it in such a strange way, though. He said that any sukkah that's not Ru'uya to eat, Kedarka, as opposed to Pito Biado, ain't a sukkah. I don't know. It's a wonderful idea, but it doesn't fit in context.
It's kosher midoraita, but they need the derabanan in order to make it possible. Because
I understand, except for the problem is, you shouldn't say that any sukkah that's not ru'uya to eat in it. With kedarka, it's not because it's not ru'uya to eat in the kedarka. It's not because it didn't... The Ramban sounds like there's a din Torah, achila has to be eaten in the sukkah. It's one of the primary functions of yeshiva. It tells achila, and achila means normal achila. But if that's the case, the sukkah is no good midoraisa.
Maybe that's what it is that there isn't.
No, but it's only zera drabban or shemi yimashen chachar shochana.
No, but it's not a din joraita. It's that definitionally, in order for something to be a sukkah, it has to go through these functions. But it doesn't create a psul of the sukkah itself. And therefore, you have to create a gezera midarabanan in order to be able to...
I know, but then you wouldn't call the sukkah psula. You wouldn't say it's not a sukkah and it's psula. It's a very strong language. That's not gezera language.
It's in a sukkah. He doesn't say it's sukkah psula. He says it's in a sukkah.
Really? He says ain't a sukkah. He says...
sukkah.
That's even stronger than... First, he says psula. Shekol. She'ena ru'i la'chir kadaka l'chomili de sukkah ain't a sukkah. He uses both. Very strong language. It's a wonderful notion. It just doesn't fit well in explaining the shitas of the Rif. Okay. Anyway, continues. Abaye believes no. They only argue about sukkah katana, about diras keva diras arai. The time of mishum diras keva. Avalanan. Now that's a very difficult statement to Ramban also. How could anybody say they only argue by sukkah katana? Why is that impossible? Why can Abaye not possibly hold that way? Morty? The Mishnah. Story in the Mishnah. I don't know how you can say that. You could say that Abaye holds, what you can say, maybe the Rabban means that, is that Abaye holds the machlokas by sukkah katana is about something else than by sukkah gedola. But Abaye... So Abaye holds the b'shita sever the sukkah katana b'chud pligi. Can't be. You could say by sukkah katana they argue for a different reason, and he thought like the Balamor did. However, avalanan yichevan da ashkechan dafilu b'sukkah gedola pligi umishum gzeira memela avtila leshita da Abaye b'ha. Abaye's view is rejected in this. It doesn't mean Abaye shita. On the Gemara, Abaye's collection, it means Abaye's view on this, on the Machlokas B'Shamay B'Sila, what it's about. We would not be able to survive in the Beis Medrash. We'd have an unsolvable contradiction. Right? As the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, V'les nagar bar nagar de yifar kinei. No carpenter or son of a carpenter could possibly solve this problem. Namely, if you want to say that that Beis Shammai holds that sukkah diras keva be'inan, and we pass like Beis Shammai by the din of sukkah katana, that it's no good, and it's part of a shita, one or the other. You can't paskin like Beishamai cannot be part of a shita, and we paskin like him. The Ramban believes, and is about to spell out, that the rejection of a shita means everybody in that shita, bar none. So the Ramban continues on the words of the Balamor, the Racham Rabin, Umasha Heshe Balamor Zal Dachal Gav Dachal Hani Tanai Tamayim Yishun Dibai Yisukah Diras Keva Ikim Inayu Kiyo Chasav Ikim Inayu Dachal Chuchsal Lefi Sheyesh Lekvi Yisukah Drachem Rabin Chochar Mehani Tanai Ikim Lameimar Dos Sri Lei Dachavre. So that line of the Balamor, the Rif says, Hiter Bazeh Kesher Shel Kayama HaMekubal HaMuskam Enaga Onim. What does that mean? He just undid a major yeso that the Gaonim have that was a Kesher Shel Kayama. So Ramban claims, but he's not going to have such an easy time proving it. Ramban claims the Gaonim held that even when people in the Shita, or Dafka maybe even, when people in the Shita do not agree with one another, we reject all of them. Probably the reason being each one is a Das Yochid. Now, V'kach Amru Behedya, the Garcina Beperka Isha Rabba, Rav Huna Karav, V'Rav Karebi Yanai, V'Rav Yana Karebchia, V'Rav Chia Karebi, V'Rebi Kremei, V'Rmei Kareb Lezer Ben Yaakov, V'Rav Lezer Ben Yaakov Karebi Akiva, Kulu Sviru Lehu Adamach Nedava Shalom Bola Olam. So, I just want one word of explanation. Why can you not be machne davar shel abal olam? It's not tangible. The rule, what would we call it? There would be a term, actually. They may not use it, but it really is a form of this. Being machne, we assume, I don't know what we assume. I assume we hold that Adam is not machne davar shel abal olam. And if you're machne davar shel abal olam, why is the kinyan not binding? What is that kind of a kinyan called? Nasmachta. If I promise I'm going to give Amiel $100, I promise him. And now he brings it to Beis Din, and they say, you promised me to give $100. I say, I did. And what will Beis Din say to me? That's very nice, but mele be'alma ninu. I'd be a bad person if I promise him I don't fulfill it. But it's not, I'm not binding from the if I swear I'm going to give him $100, so Beis Din will not force me to give $100. They might force me to fulfill my oath. Right? But they won't force me to give him $100 per se because I don't owe him $100. I may owe God to fulfill my word, whatever that is. Why? Because to be chayv in something requires a kinyan, typically. There are very few things in this world that are nicknamed without a kinyan. Hekdesh, for example, is an exception. Amirasa lagavoa, the Mishnah condition says, is kimsirasa lahedyot. There also is a notion of dvarim ha-niknim ba-amira, when two parties get together and make a shidduch. And everybody's so happy about the wedding. And certain things around the time of the wedding do not require a kinyan. When each side says, I will give X, and the other side says, I will give Y, it becomes binding. Hein hein dvarim haniknim v'amira. Why? Because there is compensation. There is what we call consideration. Right? The marriage creates a genuine sense of being willing to do so. In the same way, those of you who know the machlokas are rishonim, when you gamble, Rabbi Nutam claims that when you gamble on a pot, it's not a smachta. Why? Because in exchange for the possibility of winning all, you really are gamar mishabe nafshe, that if you lose, you give up your parts. That's an interesting discussion, but it all boils down to the same thing. Kinyanim are chal on things that are real, and when there's an exchange, when there's consideration. In the absence of a real object here, on some future thing that doesn't exist yet, or I don't have yet, that's like an asmachta, that's dvarim bialma. There's nothing to make a kinyan on. What are you going to be kona? That's why you might not be able to be kona peros dekel that don't exist yet, but you might be able to be kona dekel leperosa. The kinyan can be chal on the tangible object. You can buy rights in the dekel right now, partial rights in the dekel. And so that's the idea. So something that doesn't exist yet, or something that is not my ownership yet, I can't be machna. So that's the question. There are various degrees of davar shel abal olam. Anyway, so the Ramban says, that the elu einam shavim, all these tanaim and amoraim who held adam machne davar shel abal olam, they're not the same. Udrachim Rabim Lahem, there are many different approaches. The Rabbi Yanaiv Rabchia Lo Amruha Ela Bepero Shineshanam Ba'olam Agamre Ela Shalohevi and Loha Aris. In other words, they're fruits that the Aris has not brought to me yet. But the fruits have grown already, and the Aris is Mukhuyev to bring me my share of the fruits. Can I be Matan in the fruits that the Aris hasn't given me yet? So it's one thing to say that you can be Matan at that Dover Shalom Ba'olam, because the Dover is Ba'olam, it's just not in my Rishus yet. But then he says, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Amra b'chagon shachas va'agam kid isim v'sechas kedushin. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says that fruits that don't exist yet, you can't sell. But if the fruits are already grown, at the shachas, it's right now at the stage of having produced stalks, but it hasn't produced the seed yet. So Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says that you can be makna. Why? Because it's already just about here. Kid isim v'sechas kedushin. And Rabbi Meir Amra b'chol peiros tekel v'aval pishal b'olam kal. Rabbi Meir says you can be makna peiros tekel, even though they don't exist at all yet. Right? They're not there at all. Rameir extends other matan davar shabalom even further. So the Ramban says that all of these things are not, they don't hold the same. Now, here's one flaw in the Ramban's argument, which he knows, because he addresses it in the last line of the paragraph. Do any of these Tanaim and Amaraim Befeirish argue on one another? The answer is no. It's true that just because you say that you can be makna peiros that your aris has grown but are not yours yet, that you can be makna them, doesn't mean you can be makna fruits of a date palm that haven't grown yet. It's true, but it's possible that you do hold that way. In other words, each of these tanoim and amoraim spoken of a different case, but they don't necessarily befeirish argue on one another. And therefore, it is possible that Baal HaMor is still correct, that maybe we reject this shita of makna davash bal olam because they all hold the exact same thing. In other words, they don't talk about the same case. It's not mukhruch that they agree 100%, but they could agree 100%. Then the Ramban quotes another example. V'chein b'haydamrina b'perak ha-mochas ha-sfina. Reb Lezer, b'shimeng v'lea, Reb Meir, Reb Nasser, v'sumchas v'nacham ha-madi, kula sfina l'kod l'mezabein inish iu v'chol tashmishtei zabein. So the Ramban says all these Tanaim hold that when you sell something, the subject of a very significant part of Maseches Baba Basra has to do with contract law. When you sell X, what is assumed to be in the sale if you don't specify it in the contract, and what is not assumed to be unless you specify it. So the Gemara here makes an argument that these, whatever, five or so Tanaim, six Tanaim, all hold that when you sell something, you sell it and everything that's used for it. Used with it. But the Ramban says, and they certainly don't all agree with one another. But the truth is, again here, I'm not going to read through every case of these. It's not clear that they argue befeirish on one another. Then the Ramban gets to the last line in the paragraph, and he says, the sentence in the paragraph, three lines at the end of the third to last wide line in this paragraph, V'chein b'perek Rabban Gamliel b'yavamos, Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Shimon ben Azai v'Rabbi Nechemiah kulu sri l'maimar kone kinyan gamor, v'hosam behedya pligi ahadadi. Now, you have to look at that sugya carefully. I didn't have enough time to do Iyun Gamor to be sure, but the Ramban's argument seems to be correct. It's not as befeirish as one would like, but in that case, by the way, you know what a maimar is? Some of you were looking at this. You don't have to understand the Ramban. If you trust him, you don't have to know what a maimer is, but you should know what a maimer is anyway. A man dies without children. What does his brother do? Potentially does Yibum. What is Yibum in our Torah? Bia. Period. End of discussion. The Rabbanon, however, they required, well, we paskin, that the Rabbanon, they required that you do a maimer, a kiddushin, either with kesef or shtar, before you do the bia. It's not ma'akev. You do the bia, done. All is nothing to talk about anymore. She's the new brother, the other brother, the living brother's wife, lagamre. But there is an institution of maimer. We paskin, the entire institution is midrabanan. Midrabanan, it does funny things. It makes a lot of interesting possibilities. But min haTorah, maimer doesn't exist. And it's not kona kinyan gamur, even midrabanan, which creates all sorts of complications and funny scenarios. Learn the Mishnayos and Yavamos for that. But for our purposes, all these Tanaim believe that a maimer is actually much stronger than that. It might even be maimer's midoraisa or something like that. So the Gemara says that all these four Tanaim hold that maimer is kona kinyan gamur, whatever that means. And yet the Ramban says, in this case, there is explicit machlokas between one another. So in other words, the Ramban, really, this is the case he needed. What he thinks this proved the Baal HaMor, he needs the case where they befeirish argue on one another, and it's considered a shita, and we reject it. Then the Ramban explains. Ubinyan av shebekulam. Shemimenu lamdu ha-ga'onim zal lomar she'en alocha kishita is beperek ezu neshech. Damrinan, v'dilma rav ilish tovel imo bitzir hava. You have to learn the sugya to understand what that means. I don't want to explain now. V'am rav nachman halacha k'rab Yehuda, v'alacha rab Yose, v'alacha rab Shimon Gamliel. So maybe we paskin that way. Maybe Rav Ilish held that way. So Amar Le Shita Itmar. It wasn't halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Yose, halacha k'Shemuel, but rather they would present it as a shita. In other words, the earlier Gemara when it cites Rav Nachman stating halacha k'X, halacha k'Y, halacha z, is a mistaken quotation. The ilote mahachi halacha halacha lami. That's what the Gemara is speaking. Lema halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda demeka b'chulu. The Gemara points out that you could have just, this is the Gemara speaking, you could have just said Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda because he's the most lenient in that issue in Ribbis. Now, the truth be told, it's not explicit in the Gemara that the others disagree. It's just that if you want to know, if each one tells you a different case, it could be they agree, but the first two only explicitly spoke about a case where it's not as big a kula, and Rabbi Yehuda told you even a bigger kula. If once you tell me halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, I know memela halacha like the others, but it could be they all agree anyway. Mara marchad velo pligi. So that case of the original shita, it could be that all the Tanaim actually agree with one another. It's not beferish. Elashma mina shita itmar. And now b'ha-hacha, the Ramban says, the lav kulo vada islud ha-adadi. Now that's true, but Ramban is twisting words here. What does the Ramban say in this line? V'ha-hacha, in Bava Metzia, in the original case of Shita, where we learn the idea that you don't pass like a Shita, the lav kulu vaday islud hadadi. What does that lie mean?
Does it mean they're all in the Shita?
What?
Even though they were gathered in the Shita, does it mean they're all really part of the Shita?
Don't say part of the Shita. They don't all hold like one another. Now, is that what the Ramban says, that they don't hold like one another? It's not what he says. He says it's not clear that they all hold like one another. In other words, they could. Look at the words carefully. V'ha-hacha, in Bava Metzia, de'lav kunu vaday islu d'hadadi. It might be they hold like one another, agree 100%, but it's not clear at all. And yet, and Rabbi Yehuda mekel b'chulhu, mekulu, but v'chulhu lo mekil l'kulehai. V'afilu hachi mikar yeshita. Yeah, but the problem is, it's possible they do agree with one another. In other words, each one gave an example in a different scenario where you can be making on a certain issue in Ribbis. They're all conceptually in the same line. They might even agree with one another. They each made a different suggestion. But if you know Rabbi Yehuda's suggestion, his is the most easiest way to do things. But the Ramban twists this and says, no, since they don't behechreya hold exactly like one another, agree with one another, they might disagree, and yet it's called a shita. That's how the way we work. The kivua ga'onim zal bepeirusha she'ein halacha la'olam kechad minayu. We know paskin and a shita like any one of them. It's a little difficult, right? In other words, the raya the Ramban brought from Maimar might be a good raya against the Baal Hamor. But the original case of a shita in Bava Metzia by Ezehu Nesha, it's true we don't know they agree with one another, but they might agree with one another. Let me explain just the backdrop. I don't want to explain the details there, but just enough to understand why the Ramban, with the difficulty in the Ramban. If I this is a classic case. Give me a minute. I won't try not to go too long. If I give you there's something called, there's an economic arrangement. This underlies Heter Iska, by the way. I don't know how Heter Iska works exactly, but it's based upon this principle. If I give you animals to raise, and we're going to split the profits, that in itself is fine. Okay? Provided that I, the owner of the animals, accept all responsibility for the principle. As I give you the animals, what happens if they die? You don't get any reward because it's no profit, but you don't have to pay me anything. But people didn't like to do that because they didn't want to expose all their capital to loss. So you know what? Noah, I'm going to give you my cows to raise. If something happens and there's no profit, let's say all the cows get swept away by the river. And you're not negligent. It just happens. You are responsible. You are half responsible for the cows and the other half is my loss. Now, when I give you something and no matter what you give me back, I get my principal back. What do we call that? A loan. Now, but you'll say it's not a problem, because guess what? Half of the animals are yours, and you get that profit. Half of the animals, I'm responsible for the loss, and I get that profit. Why is it a ribis problem? It's still a ribis problem, at least midrabbanan. Why? Because you are doing all the work for both sets of animals, even though I get to keep half the profit, and you have half the liability. So in other words, what are you giving me back on the half, when you give me back the half of the animals that were alone, that you have achrayus for, you're also paying me along with that the schar tircha. So the Mishnah says that I have to give you a little extra. I have to give you something. These three Tanaim each gave examples of a minimal something that I give you in order to avoid this ribis derabanan problem. Rabbi Yehuda said, whatever it means, tovo b'tzir. Another one said this thing. Another one said that thing. Rabbi Yehuda's was the easiest one to do. It was the cheapest solution. Nonetheless, it might be the other Tanaim would agree. Each one, because it's not automatic that one would disagree with the other. It's not clear, it's not explicit that the other Tanaim would say that Tova Limo Betzir wouldn't work for the other Tanaim, only for Rabbi Yehuda. So it's very difficult, the Ramban pressing the issue from the original Makar, the Ur case of Shita, against the Balamor, because there, and he's very careful, he doesn't say that they Vadai don't hold like one another. He says that there they don't Vadai hold like one another, but they might. So from the original case of the Shita, it's not at all clear the Balamor is wrong. The Balamor's point is that in the case of the Shita and Sukkah, what is the relationship between all the Tanaim? Do they Vadai not necessarily, do they not Vadai agree with one another? Or do they Vadai disagree with one another? They Vadai disagree with one another in Sukkah. That's different than the case of the original Shita and Baba Metzia. The linchpin of the Ramban's argument would really be the Shita, would be the Shita that's brought in Yivamos. So you have to look at that further. But certainly the original case of Shita that the Gaonim have the tradition on is not a case where they explicitly disagree with one another. The Shita and Sukkah here is one where there is explicit disagreement between. So that could be the Balamar's defense. We'll finish this up tomorrow. There's a little more in the Ramban, and then we're going to go on to the next part of the Maromakomis, the second half.